in that way, I think we didn't make any compromises. We thought of the fullest and on every level. And it's also the way that we developed it. Everyone had to have in mind the customer first.
In the last years, I think we have a very closed teamwork there, together with the guys from concept, together with the guys from the software, and also the guys who are buying the hardware, you know. So it's a very complex topic to build a modern, intelligent Ember UX.
Hi everyone, welcome to Let's Talk Mercedes, the podcast by Mercedes-Benz. This is all about exciting topics like mobility, innovation, technology, and much more. To open up new perspectives and to gain deeper insights, we meet experts from inside Mercedes-Benz and experts from all over the world. My name is Sarah Elser, I'm your host, and I'm looking forward to discovering the latest news and trends with you. So thank you for listening, and now let's talk Mercedes. What does mobility look like in the future? I mean, literally, what will cars look like? Will there even be cars, or will there just be vehicles which look more like cabins, mobile living rooms, or offices? The answer is simple. They will look like what the user's requirements will be. If you ask the young generation, one answer to that question is, I wish for a chameleon car where I wouldn't always be seen. At least that's what a current study says. I'm very curious what my guests will say about that idea and how they actually shape the future of mobility today with a brand new Ember UX. Let's find out, and let's talk Mercedes with, hey Mercedes, who are my podcast guests today?
Maxi and Christian, they belong to the team that created me. They are like mother and father to me.
Before you give us some background stories and insight into the development of UI, UX, interior design, and of course technology, let's introduce you to the audience. Maxi, you were an UI portfolio manager. How do you describe your job to your granny?
Oh, good question. Well, I'd say that I'm responsible for the holistic user interaction concept of our cars. So everything that you interact with has to be intuitive and has to be understood by our users. And this is what I am responsible for.
I see in my head a very confused granny, but I understand what you're doing. So this was a perfect introduction. Christian, you are a senior manager UX design. What does your daily business look like?
Well, we are a creative team. We are just developing the new generation of all the series for Ember UX.
So two different job functions and two different tasks every day. Before we talk about the changing requirements of the customers, the challenges of human-machine interactions, and how the new collaboration brought Ember UX to the, next level, I have a little challenge for you. Our podcast fans know it already, but let me quickly explain it for everyone. I'll read out some lines and I'd like you to finish it. So no teamwork allowed. I know you love to work in a team, but this time no teamwork allowed. So first line, my earliest childhood memory in regard to car interior and infotainment is...
I start, even though it's no teamwork allowed. during a road trip with my family, with our car, listening to radio, because back then we only had radios in the car.
No cassettes?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe cassettes, but we were listening to radio.
Yeah, because I remember the TP function, you know that? The traffic program, and suddenly the volume increased and it was really like a break of the story in the cassette. So I remember that one, the TP. It was a button, something we miss in the new S class. So Christian, what is your first memory?
Yeah, I think my very best memory was when I was in Frankfurt on the AII exhibition, and I think it was the first Mercedes with a CD player, and that was amazing for me, you know, because I all the problems with the cassette tapes is just a lot of mess after a while using them, and this was for me the big bang there, and also I can use it a little bit, and the sound was great, and I enjoyed it very much.
So, secondly, if everything were technologically possible, my vehicle of the future would definitely have
wings.
Oh, cool.
I definitely think we need that in Stuttgart to fly above the traffic. Doesn't really have to do anything with our work or infotainment, but...
Maybe you can give a hint to the colleagues.
Yeah, we should.
I think for me it's important that I can switch between autonomous driving and self-driving. I think this would be great for the future. If I'm tired, I just want to go by, be driven by autonomous cars. And if I want to, because I have also fun to drive a car, then I do it myself then, yeah.
I think the audience is very happy out there. Even if a Mercedes guy says, I like driving. So they say, all right, there will be driving in the future at the end. So last line, thirdly, the moment I thought I would fail in the MBUX project was?
Well, then when the guys from the software told me they do not have enough memory for all the cool designs that I prepared for them.
We talk about it later if you could solve the problems together. All right, Maxi?
I'd say never happening, because I think there is always a solution if you work together with everyone and you find a compromise. And this is not a bad one, but you find the best one for the customer. So I never really thought, oh my God, no, this is like failing, because I'm in strong belief that we always find a good solution.
That's a cool mindset. But we are going to talk about obstacles and challenges later, so maybe you can remember at least one situation. There's always this one situation. I've already mentioned that the new cooperation between your departments is actually new. And in your opinion, what is now possible in the new team, which wouldn't have been possible in the past?
I think we get much more closer in the last 3 or 4 years. Before, you had a kind of concept team, and the designer has just to draw it with nice colors and animations. And this changed dramatically in the last years. I think we have a very closed teamwork there, together with the guys from concept, together with the guys from the software, and also the guys who are buying the hardware, you know. So it's a very complex topic to build a modern, intelligent MBUX.
Yeah, definitely. I'd subscribe that. So when I started working for Mercedes-Benz, I think it was in the end that there were those separate teams, and now we really found together. And I think it's all about like cooperation and cross-functional teams that come to a better solution. So we really see also that since we work together, we got like this cool new product MBUX out of it that we haven't had before. So this is definitely what I think in the last years happened.
So bottom line is the conversation is really key, the working together and finding new ways.
That's true, yeah. I mean, we have lively discussion, yeah. Sometimes all the frictions, but I think this is very important. If you want to have the best result at the end, of course, we are more the emotional guys, the right side of your brain, the guys from concept are more orientated. Is this ergonomic or not? So... But it's a process, you know. At the end, you will get the best thing then out of there. Yeah,
I think the development of cars is something very, very complex, because technology will impact, I think, nearly everything. So there will be new teams, and maybe you can share your experiences, because there's always this one first day, this first day where you have to work together. Can you describe what happened at this first day? Can you remember it?
Well, we started already 2015, I think, for the first generation of MBUX. So it was at the beginning, quite complicated, because, everybody has his own opinion. And some of the people just want to go further with the old way to do it. And of course, there have been some concerns. But after a while, everybody knows, okay, that's a better way. It's so more interesting. It's more fun if everybody is involved in this project, yeah. And I know we started already in December 2016 with the MBWX. So, and it was quite new, something like that, you know, because 2 years before the MBUX market launch, 2018, we started already to think about the next generation, you know. And for some of our directors, this was quite weird, yeah. So I can remember, because we designer want to have a radical approach sometimes, and we decided, okay, no more tubes in the instrument cluster, yeah. And this was a kind of revolution in a way, you know. But you see that we are changing very fast our infotainment system, because we have to, you know. Nobody's talking about a 5 years old application in the digital world. Nobody.
Mm. That's a good point, because it's not only necessary to hear to your diverse team, to the opinions of everyone. You also have to hear to one very strong voice, and this is the voice of the customers. Christian, you said 2018, that was the year where the first MBUX was launched. What is, in your opinion, the most significant change of needs, and how did you implement it into the new MBUX?
I think what we get back from also from the market is the level of complexity. So we improved our system very well with the first MBUX, I think. So the voice recognition was much better and so on. The system is more intelligent. But we still had the feedback from the market that the instrument class is still too complicated to deal with. And then we decided to change this. Yeah. We decided to have a lower complexity there. You can have a contextual menu, so you just have to swipe left and right and you get everything what you want. Yeah, you can just change, jump from navigation to services to assistant screens. So it's much easier to interact with that. And this natural interaction, I think, is a key of our success, because you have the voice, you have all this gesture recognition, touch displays there, and it's also personalized, yeah.
I mean, there's someone, sometimes there's this situation where you think, oh, this is the best solution we ever made, and this is so perfect. And then you try it and you recognize, oh, we have forgotten to think about that or think about that one. Do you really test it, or how do you make sure that everyone really understands what this new function stands for?
Yeah, sure. I mean, first we test it on ourselves, and then, because, I mean, we don't really, if it's not really grown, we shouldn't like go to other people to ask. And what Christian said as an example with the classic tubes, I mean, we thought, and I think probably with a younger mind and also the feedback we got for the A class, why do we need tubes anymore? Why? I mean, wouldn't it be much cooler to have perfect contexts telling you a thing about navigation and you get everything that you need, because tubes don't really have something to do with driving besides the historic fact. But the customer study shows there are some customers that really like tubes. It's learned and they love it. And so they learned it so good that it's also easy for them to understand. So, I mean, after some thoughts, and it hurt, okay, we were wrong. Yeah, then we put it in. Yeah, sure. So,
yeah, but I think this is important, that it's a process, you know. It's also, we have to fail sometimes, because, yeah, we are testing our UI with maybe 50, 60 people. So they have to drive the car, and there is a huge Excel list there, what they want to have and what's bad and what's good. And after that, of course, sometimes we have to say, oh my God, nice idea, but nobody's out there who can use it like it was taught. And that is a good process also for us to learn things. And it's, you have to keep the balance between to be very advanced in a way and challenging, because you have to have the new ideas, otherwise the market will, yeah, overwhelm you sometimes. But also you have to keep in mind that people must understand your system, yeah, because it's a car operating system.
Yeah, let me talk about that point a little bit more, because you mentioned it before, the technology is developing so fast out there. Comparing to a smartphone, we buy every 2 years a new smartphone. Our cars, I think we own them a little bit longer. So you have to look into the future. kind of. So how do you know which trends to focus on and which customer wishes you can anticipate today?
I mean, you have just to walk with open eyes through the, through your world, yeah, as a designer, and to anticipate what can be there. And yeah, there are a lot of influences from the mobile phones, for instance, or other directions. And we have to think what people are used to or what could be nice for the future. I mean, this augmented reality could be one big thing we can talk later about maybe.
One trend is also the voice control. That's something which was rising up the last years. Comparing to the previous MBUX system, which improvement have you achieved in terms of voice control?
First of all, I wanted to say like that it's also the technology wasn't ready to do what we can do right now. So maybe we always had that in mind as a goal to get there where we are right now, but we weren't able, as well as all the others in the world, to create such a system. So now,
so what was specifically missing back then?
Well, I'd say you need to code a system to understand what the user really needs and maybe also anticipate what the user needs. And this wasn't, with such a quality that we have right now, wasn't possible. So we started with a natural understanding that you don't really have to say specific lines, which was, sure, pretty cool, but still not as natural as we want it to be. And right now, we really are there to have a system that you can talk to as an assistant. You don't have to start with, first of all, you can say, hey, Mercedes, and then you get already the interaction started, but you can say more than one thing to control the car because the system waits for you. Maybe you want to do something more. The system learns things. If you, I don't know, have like always Italian food when you start your interaction with Hey Mercedes, then it learns, okay, next time the first suggestion will be Italian food because probably this is your preference. But we even got there that you don't even have to say, hey, Mercedes, because we understand, okay, at this point, you probably are talking to the car and want to interact something. So you we use other sensors, for example, the camera that has a look at your eyes where you're looking at. That is also there for other systems, but we use it if you have a look. Oh, you look at the central screen, you have a call that it's popping in, and then we say accept, and the system anticipates, yeah, why would the user say accept when not wanting to accept the call that gets in? So
I think that's a really tough task. How do you make sure that the car really understands what I'm saying? I mean,
So we actually have a look at different accents, for example. We have a look at our users, also do user testing and really find out, okay, I mean, the Swabian language, for example. I mean, it's German, yes, but you might not understand it as easy. So our system has to be trained to learn that. And of course, the context is really important. So there's a lot of artificial intelligence necessary to find out what is said and if it makes sense in this context.
Oh, that's so cool. If we can experience what is really behind the technology. I mean, we're sitting in the car and we just say, hey, Mercedes, and the car is reacting. So it's perfect to know what challenges had to be overcome. So thanks for these insights. And in each episode, we pick a recent headline to discuss. And this time we've chosen one, and I've already mentioned it in the intro. In May, WMN, that's a magazine by Funke Digital, published an article with the headline, "I wish for a chameleon car where I wouldn't always be seen." That was a result of a study by German Aerospace Center where they asked students aged 14 to 16. So let me point out three aspects I think they are behind that sentence of the chameleon car. It's flexibility, it's privacy, and it's as well gamification. So how did you keep these aspects in mind when you developed the MBUX?
I think that also the gamification is a big topic for our company also because, if you spend more time in the car and you're just staying in a traffic jam or you have a level 3, level 4 autonomous driving, then you have the possibility to play around with your screens. Yeah, and this is a big topic that drives us, and we are already working on solution for that. Yeah, so that the people get a very luxurious experience in the car. It's more than about just driving or listening music. It's all about the luxury experience in the car, and a part of them could be this gamification topic and also real games in the on the rear seat maybe, or collaborative games between the people sitting on the rear and in the front together, yeah, if you are driving autonomous in the future. So it's a lot of fun playing with your kids in the rear if you are driving long distances.
And it's a point for your keyword, AR. So what have you invented for the new functions?
I think we are first on market now with our huge AR display, so 10 to 5. So the cool thing is on this AR that you have those navigation arrow exactly in front of you on the street. You know, it's a contact analog arrow there, so it's much easier to drive the car because it's the best passenger, co-passenger that you can have there. You know, it shows you exactly where you have to turn left, to turn right, and we had a lot of fun to develop the system because you have to try a lot of things out. You have exactly to tune how the height of the arrow above the road and so on, how far should it be in front of you, and it will react. So and also it react on if you are turning the wheel left, right, the arrow will give you some hints that it recognizes your movement. So it's a cool thing, yeah.
Sounds like a playground for the engineers.
It's a really good example to explain what we already said before. I mean, there comes a tech guy, I'd say, and says, what about an AR head-up display? And for us, design and UI development, we're like, okay, cool, show us what it can do. And then we really have to work very closely together to find, a very cool way, intuitive way. And I think what we made is something that is natural because you get the information where you need it, like far in front, so that you know, okay, this street I have to turn right or left and not guess what it might be because it's very far away from the actual navigation where you have to go. But it's like playful, and you can really play also with designs to get where you want to with this technology.
And speaking of gamification, the gamers are used to their own profile. If they start a new game, they have their own settings, their new profile. Speaking of that, how did you implement that wish for, let's say, yes, my setting, maybe my temperature in the car, everything else? How did you implement that in the new MBUX?
I'd say this also like a big new step that we took that customers anticipated, because you know this already from, for example, from your computer. When you start working, you have your profile and you get everything that you set before. Why not in the car? So we really look, I don't know, in the daily life of ourselves, what are cool things that we want to have and why couldn't we take it in the car? And so we created MBUX to really get to know you without set everything? I mean, you do it anyways, your favorite temperature, your seat adjustments, your favorite radio stations, and we put it into profiles. And I think the hard thing is actually how you get to your profile. And I think we found very cool solutions for that as well, with the face recognition, voice recognition, and even the fingerprint, so that you don't have to use the boring PIN anymore.
Was there any discussion about fingerprint or face recognition? I mean, there are several possibilities to use it.
We want to have it like safe. So we choose what is the easiest but also safest way to get to your profile information. And at this point, we think the best way is to, for example, pay with your fingerprint and not with your face. Other things like unlocking your profile are totally fine via voice. So we really have a look at each specific use case to find the best solution for it. And not just set on one solution, because this might not be the best one. I mean, if you always have to put your finger for some profile action, it's also not natural or the fastest, coolest interaction. So we really have a look at each specific use case.
So another topic you haven't mentioned yet, data security is also a big one. Christian, you said... Yeah, this is really important when we have a look at the future. There are these autonomous driving cars, but the current situation is we have to drive on our own, or like a lot of customers of the S-Class, they are already being driven by their chauffeurs. So was that the reason why you decided to design the new MBUX from the rear seat, and in which functions and features could you experience these idea, or this basic idea, the best?
Yeah, I mean, for the S-Class, of course, we thought about the chauffeur cars, and you have more or less all the functionality on the rear seat exactly like the driver has, so this is a big improvement, and you can share all the content over the four seats. Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's music or your podcast or however, so you just can switch between the suites. The seats there in the car, and we also thought that there are some important things, like you can have the cabin, the phone cabin, if you like to be in the rear and nobody should hear what you're talking there, so we solved this problem also for the future. So it's very personalized for each person sitting there. And it's a big advantage for us, I think, especially also for the Chinese market. They want a lot of entertainment on the rear seat. Yeah, they want to have shopping there, online shopping, gaming, and so on and so on. And yeah, we improved the system a lot, I think.
However, we still need to drive our car, and it's totally fine that we have all these entertainment stuff in the back seats, and maybe even for the driver, it's cool to have a new experience with all these entertainment stuff. But how do you make sure that the driver is not distracted by all these informations, entertainments around him?
Christian looks at me because it's
a tough question. You have to answer it.
It's more our job, and it's more our task to always, I'd say, hold back the crazy ideas.
The crazy design have to be held back. Yeah. That's the point. Yeah.
Sorry, it's too distracting. So we have experts that specialized on those kind of things, and we also do driver distraction tests if we are not sure. And so we know that this is still a car, and maybe I heard some people drive like 250 on the Autobahn with cars still. So we have to find a good way in between, because yes, you drive, but you also want to be entertained, and then there might be situations where you are not driving and you want to have the full entertainment right in your face, and I don't know, check your mails and do other things. And so we have, of course, created rules that we follow, and we do user testing, and we use also experts that work with us together in the team to create a situation that is safe but still fun. I mean, it's not something that cannot come together. So,
I mean, the main challenge for designers is always if you like the shape, then reduce one line. If you still like the shape, then reduce another line. Is it the same way with information?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, we have to be careful how we are dealing with this information overload during your driving. So, of course, we want to have an emotional experience there during driving the car, but we also orientated to have kind of ease of use experience there. So you have a very clear design here. And therefore, we developed a special style, the understated style. And it's reduced really to the max. So you will just have your speed there. You can have a complete reduced head unit. You see just your cover there if you're playing music and nothing more. Mm.
I read in a press release that the new MUX is the embodiment of human-centered innovation. That's a big, big line. So what do you say? Sounds great. What do you say? What makes it the embodiment of human-centered innovation?
Well, I think, first of all, we improved also the position of our head unit, of our central display there. So it's in a very ergonomic place there. So you do not have to lift your arm. You can touch every important controls directly with your fingers without lifting the arms. You have also an instrument cluster with a stereoscopic display, so you get a kind of 3D effect there. So it's very, very nice to see it, and it makes a lot of fun, especially if you're driving the performance style. And yeah, it's this mixture of language, of voice, of gesture. We have also a haptic touch there. So there are a lot of things that are working there together. And yeah, it's also designed, you know. It's the central display is very well implemented in the dashboard in the car, you know. It's not something strange, not a strange thing there. It's designed, and everything around you feels like a luxury car, like an S-Class, you know. Doesn't matter if it's the ambient light, the seats, the system, the MBUX system, it works all together.
Yeah, in that way, I think we didn't make any compromises. We thought of the fullest in on every level, and it's also the way that we developed it. Everyone had to have in mind the customer first, not just develop a feature no one needs. No, we always came from the customer that is in the middle of all our development thoughts, and not just, I think, our departments, but the whole company really changed the mind how our cars have to be developed.
Speaking of the customers, I love the word human-centered innovation. A lot of people are talking about customer centricity. And then I ask, okay, customer centricity, what is with the users? Because it's crystal clear if you are talking about baby products, for example, the user is not the customer. So it's a big gap sometimes between. So I love it that you say human-centered innovation. But let me ask you that question at the end. Who needs UX, UI, all these HMI systems currently more? The user to get from A to B, or the car manufacturers to, let's say, remain interesting for the customers and users in the future?
Very interesting. I think we love our jobs, so maybe the second the second argument is very reliable. But I think if our users wouldn't need it, we wouldn't do it. So this is very important that people still need this, and the system gets more complex, and so happily. We get more, or our jobs get more important.
Yeah, but I mean, just ask those people, what's the difference between 20 years ago with Radio Becker or Blaupunkt, and now the new system. Yeah, where's more fun? Where can you get more information, useful information? Yeah, just you want to go out, you just say, "Hey, Mercedes, please search for an Italian restaurant," and bam, after 3 seconds, you have the answer. Yeah, so it makes your life easier. Of course, there are a lot of functions, but you are not forced to use them. Yeah, but there are a lot of people out there who are using those functions. And yes, we have to take care about this overwhelming system sometimes, because also we have the feedback from the market. There are differences between people older than maybe 60. For them, it's a little bit harder to have all these touch screens and functions. But people younger than 50, they say, "Oh, cool! Yeah, what a cool system!" Yeah, and they call me sometimes in my neighborhood, because a lot of people also from Daimler live near me. but the other ones also gave me a cool feedback when they see my car with MBUX, say, "Yeah, cool system, the nicest one on the market." Yeah, so that's also for me a motivation.
At the end of our episode, we would like to ask you about the future mobility. What should be, in your opinion, invented or is missing or should be more widely distributed, Christian?
Well, I mean, the individual mobility is a piece of freedom for me. Yeah. So I always will opt that this is important for everybody, that you can drive by yourself or automatic autonomous driver. However, but I think this still be in place in 10 years or 20 years, that people want to have the freedom to drive somewhere. Yeah. That's important for me. And we should keep this for the future. So it's my opinion.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
And put in some more gamification skills into the car.
Yeah, of course.
So Maxi's turn. Let me guess, there's something with wings.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm starting with the simple problems, but I think the most urgent ones at this point. So this is for one, traffic jams that we do have. And also, on the other hand, like the environment, like get new sustainable ways to get from A to B. But I'm with Christian that I love to drive a car, and I love to do road trips and to drive fast or slow in my own pace that I do want to at this point. So I really hope that there is a solution that gets rid of traffic jams, is good for our environment, but still gives us the freedom to drive our own car.
Yeah, and we can solve this by artificial intelligence that the cars are connected in, and you can solve this problem for the future. I'm sure about that, yeah. Yeah. And if you have electric cars or hydrogen cars for the future, so it will still be there, the car, I think, in 20 years.
Yeah, I'm so totally with you, because there's nothing gained if we're stuck in the same traffic jam just with an electric car. So it makes no sense. Thank you so much, Maxi and Christian, for being here. Thanks for all the insights. We will take a further look into our future in the upcoming episode, the next episode of our S-Class special. So if you don't want to miss the next episode, subscribe to our podcast, Let's Talk Mercedes. And of course, we would love to hear your feedback. So leave a rating and a comment. Thanks for tuning in. And hey, Mercedes, how do you like that episode?
I love it. After all, it's about me. Like a famous rapper used to say, "I'm awesome, and I know that."